Hello, I'm Gelada.
And I'm Sephram.
And welcome to Life in Hex, episode 30, the big, the three, the O, the zero.
Dear. The big O, dear.
The big O, dear, yeah. Okay. It's episode 30.
Yeah.
We've been running for over a year.
I can't work it out in time.
We started like October. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, no, 2005.
2 years ago? A year ago.
We're just over a year old, so it's like...
A year and a half.
It's 2007. It's the 30th episode. We own it. Well, it's the 30th episode anyway.
Yeah, so 30th episode, and yeah, so now we haven't really got anything special planned, surprisingly.
We haven't.
It is the 30th episode. But
it is Winteremus very soon.
Very soon.
Very soon, a couple of weeks now.
And then...
It's Life in X-Lan.
Yep.
OX06. Look, did you see that? I didn't actually know what he was going on about, but I guessed it right. And so we've sort of got a mismatch of recording ideas and things because we're all sort of... Well, I'm screwing up the schedule.
As usual.
As usual. So what we're going to do is... Next episode is episode 31.
Mm-hmm.
This is episode 30. Episode 31 will be released around sort of Winteremus. And so what we were going to do... is we record on a Saturday, as most people know, and then release on a Tuesday.
Yep.
So, next time we record, it will be, he says, quickly looking at a calendar, next time we record, it will be the 27th of January, which will be just near the end of Winteremus, won't it?
Which is perfectly normal.
So, what we were thinking of doing was sort of getting people involved a bit. You know, yeah. Winteremus spirit and all that. So
bringing gamers together.
Exactly. So, if you have a microphone, then we'd like to invite you on to the 31st show. The Winteremus special.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a short show, and provided we get actually a response from what we're saying now. And the idea is to get some people on, like TeamSpeak or Ventrilo or whatever.
We'll work out something.
We'll find something to use to get people on and basically like have a chat to some gamers and, you know, say, what Winteremus does for them. What do they do during Winteremus? You know, do they do anything special? Has Winteremus changed them at all? I don't know.
Maybe they could tell us about some of their earlier gaming experiences, how they became gamers.
Yep, that's that sort of thing. If you don't know what Winteremus is, then switch off. No, I'm joking. Don't switch off now. If you don't know what Winteremus is, go to winteremus.com.
Or check the Wikipedia article.
There's a Wikipedia article. There certainly is. It's basically a holiday for gamers. We'll cover it more like the next show.
Blah, blah. Well, next show is going to be a Winteremus special show. So, you know, it's going to be covered all of it.
It's an open invitation to come on the show. As I say, you'll need a microphone.
That's the only requirement, really.
You'll need to be around sometime Saturday the 27th. We don't know the exact times. It will probably be around 5:30, 6:00.
About that kind
GMT.
Of time.
If we get lots of Americans who want to come on,
then we can do later.
We can do later. We'll basically be around most of the day that time. So what we'll do is, after this show is released, there will be some more information on the website, because by then I will have determined what we're going to do. We're probably going to use the Clan TeamSpeak server, because presumably we won't get more than 20 people. If we do, then I don't know what we'll do. We'll have a very large Skype.
What about Ventrilo?
I've got a vent server that only has 10
or
20. So we'll work out something, and it will be on the website. So check the website. And if you can, then let us know, IRC, email, forum, blah, 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 if you're signing up for this. If you haven't got a microphone, then do not fret. You can still get involved. If you email us in with some information about, you know, what Winteremus does for you, etc., then I promise either myself or Seth or someone will read it out during the special show, and we'll discuss it on the TeamSpeak server with whoever comes on. It'll probably end up being Mix, Pro, and, you know, like the Clan.
Well, we'll have the usual suspects on, the kind of like Life in Hex crew, so to speak.
Yep.
We'll have those people on, but we'd really like to get more people on than that.
Yep.
I mean, maybe we can get some people from kind of that Hack 5-ish area coming over from it. And
hey, that'd be cool. Darren could come on.
Leads on to the next bit of housekeeping.
How perfect was that? It wasn't actually perfect because there was more stuff to mention, but we'll come back to that. We did have a message from Darren from Hack 5 to say that we pwn, essentially. We
own. Simple as that. He went... Live and X owns.
Yeah, essentially. It was somehow brought up on the Hack 5 IRC about us, and Moonlit was like trying to get him on the show or something. Like, on behalf of...
Yeah.
Like, Moonlit's like our Hack 5 correspondent. he's just our everything correspondent, really. He's our PR person. And we could... maybe he'll get on to, like, doing a bit of, hey, this is Darren from Hack 5, and you're listening to Life and Hex.
Yeah, I mean...
like we'd have for...
That quite cool, some C-Jacks.
That's the one, C-Jacks. But yeah, so that'd be quite cool.
That'd be quite cool if we could do that, or maybe
so,
get on.
So, Darren, if you really do listen to the show, then you will have heard of this.
Yeah, okay, if you do listen to the show, we formally invite you onto the show, be it for just a quick soundbite, or maybe if you were an interview, or maybe you want to do a whole show with us.
Yeah, I mean, come on the TeamSpeak show,
you've got more,
special.
Please do, I'm sure you you're a gamer yourself.
And of course, we can do a soundbite for him for that.
if you'd like a little Life in Hecht-esque thing for a Hack 5 episode, you know, don't hesitate to ask.
This goes out to you. But yeah, so coming back to what we're doing, that's the Winter Emus bit. But that will be not a normal show. That will be a
Winter Emus special.
Winter Emus special. It won't be very long.
Because we won't be doing a show. It would just be the Winter Emus thing. It won't be that and
the main
else.
Reason for that is because we are then recording a week early. So that will be on the 27th that we do that show. That will be released on the 30th. I hope you're all keeping up here. and then on the 3rd of February, we will be recording again, which is a week early for us, because I'm down to Devon again on our normal recording show.
Typical.
Normal recording time, yeah. And then that will be released at the normal time on February the 13th. That is during the Life in Hecht's LAN, OX06, year anniversary of the Life in Hecht's LAN.
Yep.
That's being held at my house. That is not an open invitation.
Don't expect to see people showing up.
So, you know, unless you got an invite, you're not invited. That makes sense. and then we'll probably end up doing a Life in Hecht special or something
most
like
likely.
That because the Shamus is coming to this one.
So Shamus is coming and it's the year-long one
special,
and
so
we'll be yours so we can have a proper recording machine. And so
my webcam.
And your webcam.
I've got a better webcam now. So,
yeah, that'd be nice and easy. So, yeah, look forward to a lot of Life in Hexiness.
Yeah. Hey, well, for our listeners, it'll all be at the same normal time.
Pretty much,
but
yeah.
For us, it'll be like, oh my God, Life in Hex, and then there'll be
lots
nothing
of Life
for
in Hex, and then nothing, and then there's a bit, and then there's normal.
Yeah.
So look at that.
Look at that.
We're amazing.
We are. So that's our housekeeping. If you didn't understand all that, the whole information and everything, I'll probably put even a little calendar on the. I always keep meaning to do that, actually, make a little calendar to go on Life in Hex website.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, we sometimes change. It would be nice, I think, for the listeners to know when we record, because then they know when to email by for the show and that sort of thing.
So they can keep kind of track.
So I'm thinking of putting like a little JavaScript, like DHTML calendar thing on there, just so
this isn't gonna completely fuck up BinRev.
Nope.
Hack DDP radio, is it?
Not at all.
Good.
The Winter Emus show will just be aired twice in a row, because if the show is shorter than an hour, it starts the show again, I think, if I remember rightly. But no, it's not going to fuck them up at all. I always bear that in mind, that DDP Hack Radio are always on there with us.
Mm-hmm. Plugs to them.
Plugs to them, of course. DDP Hack Radio you own as well.
Right, life. Our life section.
What have you been doing, Seth?
Well, I was going to say that both of us have exams, / have had exams.
Mm-hmm. I've had one so far.
You've had, what was it?
Physics reset.
How did it go?
All right.
We've still got more exams to come, so yeah.
Yeah, so we've both got exams at the moment.
We're both doing exams for our A2 levels, so yeah, that's a bit of a life.
I have a bit of life as well. I wasn't going to mention it, but I might as well now that we've got our life section. And that's that I've got a little project going with Mix. Mix and I are going to be doing a little mod, a little bit of water cooling, a little bit of extreme overclocking P4s.
As you do.
You know, overclocking P4s to 4 gigahertz, that sort of thing.
That's totally normal, you know.
No, but it is. Yeah. But I'm not going to mention it anymore because there's going to be full coverage on the forums under the tech section. I'll have pictures of the case, how we're getting on, you know, our fuck-ups. There'll be a little extra section for our fuck-ups.
Yeah,
I'd
imagine
be
so.
The biggest bit.
Probably.
Really. So
how much popular?
We should get, yeah. You're right. So that should be quite fun. I'll let everyone know on the forum how that gets on.
And once it's all done, we'll probably do something on the show about it. Maybe we'll get Mix on.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, we've been on a show before, hasn't
he? Do a chat about modding.
Yeah.
Do a modding chat.
Could do.
That would be pretty awesome. I think people would be interested in learning about some mods.
Definitely. Mm. So, yeah, look forward to that in the future.
Yeah, there's something to come on Life in Hex.
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay, that pretty much wraps up our live section.
Yeah, it does.
So, moving on to our anime section.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to continue with the trend I've been going with recently of reviewing first volume manga.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, it's a manga called Buso Renkin.
Which I could not spell for shit.
Yeah, it took a while to get you to spell it.
I was like, what?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Buso Renkin. It's by the same guy who does, who did Rurouni Kenshin, which I did many a moon ago with episode 16.
Many a moonlit ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was our late summer show where it was very, 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 very hot.
And late.
And late.
It was like 9 o'clock.
Yes, but it was still too hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it's another SJ manga, recently.
Which is a Shonen Jump.
Shonen Jump manga.
Mm-hmm.
And it, obviously, it's been translated and localized by Viz Media.
Yep.
As all SJ mangas are. And basically, I'm just going to do the usual of giving you kind of a brief outline of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So this is quite a different story. It's got most SJ mangas I've said is usually like a load of kind of characters who are kind of like your upstart nice guys who are going to fight evil together and work together as a team kind of mm-hmm. thing. Now, there's still that in this, but at the same time, you've got this added addition of it being only one main character this time. Instead of lots of main characters. And there are obviously other characters in it that the main character kind of works with. But they're not main characters. And they all have their own kind of distinctive personalities without working together with the main character all the time. Okay, the main character, Kazuki Muto, is kind of the... he's your typical Shonen Jump character, but with a bit of a twist.
Ooh, a twist?
Ooh, yes.
Just twisting, yeah.
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 Kind of.
Go on.
Without the dancing bit. Okay. He is you kind of like very, very positive, very enigmatic. Is that the right word to use?
I don't know. I don't know what the word means.
Enigmatic. Kind of like he's very energetic, very forward, passionate about things. Mm-hmm. But in the same way, he's very, very... He's not kind of like a badass kind of character.
Right.
You know how most manga series sometimes have the badass character.
Yeah.
He's not it, surprisingly. And the only badass character in it is also female, which is very rare.
Right.
Very not usual. Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very likable character in the way that all the people like him. There's not a single person in the manga so far who doesn't like him, even though the bad guys are supposed to be the bad guys, and they seem to have a kind of like attraction towards him to some extent. And it's an interesting character concept, and I think it really works. And I think that comes from the idea, the fact that Nobuhiro Watsuki, again, as I said, from the creator of Ruroken, has had chance to develop his kind of character development over the years that he's done Ruroken. Because he mostly made lots of characters for Ruroken, he spent a lot of time on that, so his ability to make characters has really improved, I feel. And it really shows in his main character. But moving on to the actual series itself, so I'll just give a brief outline of it. Mm-hmm. It's based around the main character, Kazuki Muto,
yep.
who is a high schooler, as usual kind of thing, you know, in most manga. And one day, he has this dream where he gets killed while trying to save this girl, right? So basically, this dream where he thought he died turned mm-hmm. out to be real.
Yep.
And he was actually killed. However, this girl, Tokiko Sumura, who is... unbeknownst to him, is actually a warrior alchemist.
Right.
An alchemical warrior, so mm-hmm. to speak. And she wasn't actually in trouble of being killed because he was trying to save because he thought she was going to die. She was actually just luring the enemy out, but he didn't realise that, and he jumped in the way of the enemy's attack and got himself killed.
Right.
So because she felt...
Yeah.
Because she felt that she shouldn't have dragged an innocent person into this situation... Right, she saved his life by placing into his heart where his heart was, because his heart had been completely destroyed because of when he did the attack. This thing called a Buso Renkin.
So this is an ultra realistic manga, then.
Oh, totally,
definitely.
And it's kind of like it's a high tech, sophisticated but alchemical device which kind of acts as his heart now, but at the same time heals his body.
Right. Are you following this, Life and Hicks listeners? This is quite complex.
It does work. And the manga explains it a lot better than I do.
Hmm.
So this Buso Renkin, which is obviously the title of the manga itself,
yep.
was placed inside him. And that basically makes him allowed to live now. And she said that even though it was gave him alchemical powers himself, he wasn't supposed to be able to do it. And he was just supposed to live his normal life as it was, just with this thing inside him acting as his heart. And that was to be the end of it. However, being the kind of like, you know, positive, straight, you know, very positive and energetic and almost nosy person that he is, he kind of got himself, you know, continually involved in the situation and became, in the end, does become an alchemical warrior himself and kind of becomes
right.
this girl's apprentice, so to speak. Yeah. And obviously the rest of it is more detailed story, so I won't go into that.
Mm-hmm.
But the story itself, as... yeah, you've already commented on, is a fairly complex first. And although it sounds complex, when you read it, it does actually make quite a lot of sense and easy to read, which I think is one of the strong points of the manga. You know how I usually talk about how the artwork looks?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the artwork is just normal. It's good, mm-hmm. right? It's very nice. That's it for all I'm going to say. I think what I'm going to comment on the most on this is the story itself, because the story is very straightforward and very funny and lighthearted, but at the same time, very, very in depth. There's a lot there to it, and there's a lot of character emotion I found, because the female character Takiko Sumura, as I said, she's kind of the badass. As I said, there's always going to be a badass in an SJ manga.
Yeah,
but she really displays a variety of emotions. She displays kind of like primal anger. But she displays kind of like a caring affection for example, when he gets hurt and helps her, and she helps him. She displays scared, and she displays worried, and she displays what's the word? You know, being thankful for something after he saved her, for example. And there's a lot of emotions, and they're really conveyed very well. And I know most people wouldn't be able to understand, well, how can you convey emotion within a form of comic book?
Yeah.
But you can, and it works, and it really has worked well. And I think it's a very emotional manga. So, although it's an SJ manga, and it's about kind of like, you know, the idea of good versus evil, battling, etc., there's a lot in it for more older audiences in terms of the character emotions and everything. So it's a very fun manga to read in terms of that opinion. And that's one of the things I'm personally most enjoying about it. The variety of emotions that you see and the variety of scenes in which these emotions take place in. So, but I'm afraid overall I'm actually only going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Oh.
Now, you might think, well, why? You know, you sound very positive about this.
You are, indeed.
There's a few problems with it. One problem is that, I mean, and again, possibly because it's volume one, the first volumes of things generally start off slower. The first problem is that there's no massive character development outside the main character, and that's it. Because, I mean, you don't even learn much about the female character, Takiko. You don't really learn much about her. You learn a bit about Kazuki, but you don't really learn about much Takiko at all.
Right.
Which is a shame. Or any of the other main characters as well. A lot's left open completely. I mean, I know you don't obviously get much character development in the first manga as it is, but there was none at all. I was kind of hoping they'd develop it more towards his sister, for example, and maybe his friends, but they didn't, which was a shame. And that was one of his main major down points. But other than that, it's a good manga, and it does fall firm short of being really good, unfortunately, which is why it only gets a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
7 maybe if you're really into the kind of the emotional side of it, like I said. So it's definitely worth checking out, but I wouldn't hold it in high hopes if you're not kind of into just pure action, because it's really a little bit more complex than that.
Yeah sounds it.
So yeah, that's it. Busou Rinkin. Right, cool. I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're gonna get the rest of the volumes, or?
Well, Packamack is it's another Packamack.
It's another Packamack provided. He almost sponsors the anime section. It's like, this anime section is sponsored by Packamack. Packamack, for all your anime free needs.
Totally. Oh, God.
An anime library.
I need to go and see him. I'm running out of stuff.
Ah.
I need my fix.
What's the expiry date on the books you need to return?
I think he should start having kind of a barcode in the library service for his all these stuff.
Oh, dear.
But I have actually got some news as well for the anime.
You have?
And I did post this on the forum, so you can go there and comment on it if you want, or you just get the link as well or whatever, but it'll also be on the website. And that is, and I've mentioned this so many times now on the show, but that is about Air Gear.
Right.
The manga Air Gear, or the anime Air Gear in this case. There's been a dubbed version done of it.
Uh-huh.
And for the first three, you can see the first episode completely free and streamed. It's on IGN, I believe, but probably on someplace else is by now as well. Mm. But if you want to go and have a look at it and stream it, go to tinyurl.com/TRM9T.
Mm-hmm.
They did a great job dubbing it. There's absolutely no kind of censorship. So there's all the swearing that was in it in the Japanese version. There's all the nudity that was in the Japanese version. There's all the violence in there that was in the Japanese version.
Cool.
And hell, you actually need to prove the fact that you are 18 when you look at it on IGN. You have to sign in and say you are 18.
They never work for me because, well, I haven't worked it out, but I'm listed as over 18 on my profile and it still never works. It's really weird.
That's strange. But yeah, so either sign up for an account if you've got one, or use one you've got, or maybe use a Bug Me Not or whatever to get into it. And just give it a watch. And it's really good. They've done a good job. They've kept the opening and ending sequences in Japanese. They haven't messed around with that.
That's good.
And the voices really suit the main characters.
So it's a good dub then.
It's a really good dub. They've done a really good job of it. Which makes a change, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because obviously dubbing usually kind of kills it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed the dub. I mean, obviously, it's no substitution for the sub itself.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for people who maybe don't want to listen to Japanese voices or can't be bothered or whatever, then it's a really good dub and definitely worth checking out.
Sweet. So, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And a section done.
Let's move on to the gaming section.
Yes, gaming section indeed.
And today we have...
Finally,
we have a review for Dawn of War Dark Crusade.
Woo!
Yes. Dawn of War Dark Crusade is it's the second expansion to the Dawn of War series, which is from Relic, isn't it? Yes.
Relic.
And Dawn of War is a... We've mentioned this before, but it's a... it's a real-time strategy set in the Warhammer 40,000 tabletop universe.
Which is trademarked by
Games Workshop.
Yep.
And this expansion pack adds two new races, which is the Tau and the Necron. So what are we missing? We're missing the Tyranids.
We're missing the Tyranids. We're missing the... Technically, it's only the Tyranids.
Is it only the Tyranids we're missing?
Well, you've got some of the sub-races, because you've got things like the Witch Hunters and stuff like that.
But minus the sub-races, just the main
and
races.
The Dark Eldar.
Mm.
So really, you're only missing
the
Tyranids. The
main race that we're missing is the Tyranids.
Which I would have thought they would have put in.
We were actually... Didn't we... I may not have been on a show, but weren't we actually, like... We predicted that the Tyranids would be the next race that they would
I would have thought they would have done.
Because of the diversification. Yeah. I mean, Necron, yes, diverse. But Tau... At the end of the day, it's just a shooty army.
Another shooty army. It's quite similar.
Mm, whereas Tyranids would have been very new.
Tyranids would have been brilliant. I would have loved Tyranids. They would have been almost like the Zerg out of StarCraft, for example. How the, you know, they how they work and everything. I would have loved to have seen that. Mm.
So
maybe they will.
Maybe they will. But
I mean, as I said, the
Winter Assault just added one race. So why can't they just have another one?
Winter Assault would have added Tyranids.
Yeah,
because Guard and Tyranids have always kind of been rivals.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have thought maybe
they were going to, and then
but then he dropped it. I don't know, maybe.
Weird. Anyway, but yeah, it adds Tau and Necron. Also adds a new campaign, which is like a Conquer the World Risk type campaign.
Which is different to the other games, because in the other games, in Dawn of War, the original, and in Winter Assault, they simply added another storyline campaign. Yeah.
And each of the races, you can play as each of the races, and they all have their own cutscenes and that sort of thing for each of the races, which is really good.
Yeah, really good. And it adds replayability in that fact that you want to play through it all and see it all.
Yep. There's also other bits and bobs. They've added new units for the races, and they've added limits on some of the units to stop them people whoring them, like being open.
Well, for example, Imperial Guard, obviously, I can comment on the most because obviously I play Imperial Guard. That the way you can play Imperial Guard has quickly been changed. Right. I mean, for example, now you can only have one squad of Kazakin and one squad of Ogryns, whereas before you could have as many as you could fit into your squad cap.
Same goes with Eldar, you can only have two Fire Prisms now.
Exactly. Before you could have like as many as you wanted.
I used to whore them and have like eight.
I know.
With an avatar.
Exactly.
So they fixed that bug as well, didn't they? Like the avatar used to give you so much more units. Now they only give you a little bit more.
Yeah. So they've really changed it and really kind of limited it and everything. Tried to make
they've
the
tried
game
to make
more
things
even.
More balanced and more varied.
Yeah.
A bit like almost in a similar way, a bit like how Valve put dynamic pricing on to try and make people use
other things,
weapons.
Yeah.
In a way, this is similar. They've limited the overpowered big guns to try and make people
use the weaker stuff.
Stuff that they don't always use. But yeah, so as we said, replayability has been increased, and it's, you know, it's massive overhauls to some teams, as you've said. I couldn't read the S at the end. And also, there's quite a few new multiplayer maps, which we played, and they're just as good as the other maps. You know?
Some of them are really good and some really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never actually found a map. We've never played a map where I've thought, this map sucks. I've thought that the game as a result sucks, but the map itself, I've never thought this map's crap. You know,
there was a couple of maps I've played that I've never actually let you play, basically, because I've seen them before and I thought, we don't want to play that.
Mm.
And some of them, they're really small and really tight, and with the idea of the crappy hit detection of the game, it's not fun to play.
But
so
out of the new maps, I don't think we've encountered one that's been really bad.
Not at all. I mean, my personal new favourite of the ones is Janus Savannah, which is actually on the demo as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really good because it's a four-way map, but it's very open. There's plenty of space to use, but at the same time, there's plenty of kind of crucial checkpoints as well. So
we give that a 9 out of 10 for gameplay because it is just an expansion, you know, and... You know, but they have added two new races. Yeah. But they could have added three. They could have added the Tyranids.
They could have added the Tyranids, but they didn't. So maybe in the future, maybe not. Who knows?
The graphics engine is pretty much unchanged. The new models are good, and the special effects and everything
Force Tower and Necron
are good.
Of course.
Yeah. There's also some very nice effects for Necron, because Necron have the resurrection skill. But they could have overhauled the graphics engine. You know, it is looking a bit dated.
It's starting to look dated.
It's a good graphics engine, and it's really, you know, I've got no fault in the graphics engine. It's really nice. But it is beginning to look a bit dated. You know, when you compare to, like, Company of Heroes or something, which is a bit unfair to compare the two.
Because there's such a massive difference. But what you're saying is that in today's kind of, like, market,
it's starting to look a little bit too dated now. Yeah, exactly. So, but
for a new game.
But for what it is, the graphics engine is still very good. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'd still play AoE 2. You know, the graphics don't bother me about it.
Graphics don't change a good game.
Strategy games don't need great graphics. I mean, sure, Company of Heroes has shown that good graphics look really good and entice people to play. But overall, strategy games just need a good interface and a good balance and, you know, a good fun sort of thing. So it's not a problem, but we've said, you know, 6 out of 10 simply because, yeah, the graphics are good, but that it is looking dated for the game. I mean,
nothing
else
has been changed.
Valve have shown that you can update it. Game engine, graphics engines with Source, so, you know, they could have updated the engine as well. As for sound, now, one of the biggest gripes we had about the sound in Dawn of War was the music.
Yes.
The music was very badly compressed, or seemed very badly compressed.
It was almost done as if it was done on purpose in some cases.
Mm. But they've added new voices, which is good, of course.
Yes, because obviously they've added completely new voices for the Tau and Necron, but they've also added new voice bits for all the original existing teams, which is good. And the campaign obviously brings in a lot of new voices in terms of the pre-scripted stuff.
Yeah.
So, for example, when you're attacking kind of like an enemy commander's area, you know, you'll get like kind of like a banter between the two of them, for example. So that's all been done.
It's more of a joke than anything, but the narrator for the cutscenes, like at the beginning of the campaign and stuff, is just like the classic sci-fi. And the Tau, with their mighty army, came and strode forth. It's like, shut up.
Skip.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just funny more than anything. But, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's just quite amusing, really.
Also, I thought what was quite funny was the tutorial of the beginning of the campaign that always pops up. And the guy saying about it. And I think you made the joke at one point saying that's just one of the developers who drew the short straw.
Yeah. It's like, right, who's going to have to read out all these tutorials? Ha, it's you, Mark. You've got to read out these. Like, it's like selecting your, you know, it's quite amusing. But there is some new background music. Because before it was like one track.
Pretty much. Playing,
and now there's quite a few tracks. So
more bearing and everything.
So 7 out of 10 for the sound.
Yes, because we quite like it.
Mm, we do. And it's quite amusing.
Well, it can be. And I mean, it's all good. So nothing to complain about. And it's very good. It's a very good sound.
Yep.
Last but not least, it's value. The value it's for its money.
Mm.
Now, considering it's only an expansion pack, it's very cheap.
It is.
So it kind of follows with the fact that it's expansion, but because it is also a standalone game.
It is. You can run Dawn of War Dark Crusade without owning Dawn of War or Dawn of War Winter Assault. And then I think, say you buy Dark Crusade.
Yes.
And you like it, and you want to buy one of the others, and you go out and buy one of the others. Can you then enter your CD key in, like, after a while?
You can.
Right, so you don't have to reinstall
Dark Crusade. So if you went out and you bought Dark Crusade, you only have access to Tau and Necron in multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah.
You have complete access to all of them in the campaign.
Right.
But in multiplayer, so essentially me and you want to play with the LAN, for example.
Or online.
So one of us, whoever only had Dark Crusade, would only be able to play with the Tau or Necron.
So the campaign is still... You can play the campaign as all of the different races. Wow, that's quite impressive.
Which is pretty good.
What about Skirmish?
Skirmish, on your own, yes. But with people, no.
Mm-hmm.
So
multiplayer, it's purely the multiplayer thing.
I think we probably mentioned it at one point.
Did, actually,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It just does seem to ring a bell in the fact that if you like the game enough so that you want to become hardcore with it and start playing it multiplayer, then you're going to pay for the extra money for the extra races. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're not going to bother. Mm. But it's good because if you buy Dark Crusade, you get those two races in multiplayer, and then if you like it, you can go out and you can buy either Winter Assault or Dawn of War, both or whatever, and then enter the CD keys into Dark Crusade so that it recognises that you've bought.
Yeah, so you don't have to actually install them, do you?
No, you don't have to install them.
Dark Crusade and then bingo. Mm, excellent. That's good. But yeah, so because of that, because of the fact that it runs standalone and because it's not expensive, you know, it's really, really good value for money. We've also said that, you know, there's plenty of replayability. This has added to the time sort of you know, the product timeline as far as like before it completely dies.
Well, put it this way, we're still playing it, and how many years? It's been out at least 2 years now, hasn't it?
Dark Crusaders, you know, refueled our interest. I mean, we always used to play it anyway, but now we've got some new races to play around with, blah, blah, blah.
New maps, new campaigns, etc.
And we both agree, it is still one of the best RTSs out there at the moment for playing multiplayer and that sort of thing, and just
very,
generally.
Very enjoyable.
When we think about what games to play when you're over or whatever, you know, Dawn of War is usually the first
game that comes to mind, and definitely one that we'll always play.
So, for value for money, we've given it 9 out of 10.
Yes. So, overall, we've given it an 8 out of 10.
Yep.
Simply because it obviously doesn't deserve a perfect game, because it is just an expansion pack and everything, and it's not good enough to get that. But it's a very good expansion pack. It's standalone on its own, and it adds two new races, which is you can't complain about. And it's not just two races with just similar things. They're two very diverse races.
Yeah,
I mean, they're
different.
Totally opposite.
And they're completely different to all the other races
as
well.
Which is obviously the big appeal of this, of Dawn of War Dark Crusade.
Not only that, but you can buy the anthology, which is all three games for very cheap. The anthology doesn't come with anything extra, but it comes with all three games, and it's literally the cost of a game.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you buy it from somewhere like Gameplay in the UK or something like that, it literally is just the cost of a game. I mean, I already had Dawn of War because I got it free with Company of Heroes, and I still went and bought the anthology simply because it was cheaper than buying Winter Assault and Dark Crusade.
Exactly.
You know, so you know, if you haven't actually played any of the Dawn of War series, now is a good time. Either buy the standalone,
or the original, or if you know
you're going to buy, you know, if you know you want to play all of the others on multiplayer because you want to play it as a multiplayer game, then buy the anthology and bingo, you've got them all.
It's 25-30 quid. Mm. For all three of them?
Exactly.
Brilliant value for money.
Brilliant, brilliant value for money. Okay, we've got no gaming news, but we do have some music, and it's some good music, again.
And we actually found this first time.
First button we clicked. And this is a band called Black Lab, and the song is called See the Sun, and it's a really good song.
We really loved it. We thought it was really good.
Brilliant song. So go and check out their website at blacklabworld.com. We'll say that at the end, and it'll also be in the show notes.
Yes, indeed.
So go and check this out, and then we'll come back with some tech before we wrap up
the show.
Look at that. We've done this too many times.
Yeah, I know. It shows it's the 30th.
30 times is too many times.
It shows it's the 30th.
Certainly does.
Go deep again. Will you stay?
Okay, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed Black Labs there with See the Sun.
Yeah, it's a good song. Okay, we got some tech. I'm going to keep this short so that we don't overrun the show. First of all, CES 2007 has just finished. That's the Consumer Electronics Show, and that's in San Francisco. And the main big announcement was at Macworld, which is just Apple at CES, and that was the Apple iPhone. They also announced the Apple TV, which is a little set-top box thing to go on top of your TV. Streams off iTunes, up to 5 different iTunes computers, and stores stuff off one.
Yeah.
Really cool. But yeah, the big announcement was the Apple iPhone. And Cisco, please don't sue us for mentioning that. It's an interesting point. Linksys, which is part of Cisco, quite a while ago bought out a product called the iPhone. Everyone thought that Apple now are going to have to like change their name because there's no way that they'd be able to do that. But no, they actually released the Apple iPhone at CES. They said, here we go, Apple iPhone. So the moment they did that, I'm pretty certain that someone from Cisco got on the phone to their lawyers and were like, dude, they went ahead anyway. But apparently there was, I haven't read the full details, you can check it out online, but like they were trying to get an agreement going with Cisco to use the name. And then before they'd even finished deciding, they still announced it at Macworld. So it's just stupid. I don't know why.
Well,
Cisco must have come up. I mean, how dumb can you get? They must have known that Apple were going to do that. They must have purely named that just to kick up a fuss. There's no way that you'll think, oh, no, let's call it an iPhone because we're sure that Apple are going to do one because everyone's thought that they're going to for the past 2 years.
Well, thing is, though, Apple aren't going to wait around either because, I mean, Apple, big company, massive company, right? They're not going to turn up to CES 2007 with this big new amazing phone that they made
and say, we don't know what it's called yet.
You're not going to give it its proper name, are they? Yeah, just because of the technicality that Cisco got the name.
Yeah, exactly.
So regardless of what they're going to do, they're going to say it. So,
but it's very, very cool. It's very nice. I'm not going to like go on about it. A, we haven't got time. And B, there's so much on the web about CES. I mean,
and so many podcasts out there.
There's Dig, it's just gone crazy, and there's Twit and Dignation, and Dignation were there, you know. And so go and check out, this is the first time, it's like, well, not the first time, we've said this quite a few times, but go and check out another podcast, not us, for this information. Cause
well, we've said this in the past, I'm pretty sure, well, we have said this, we're pretty sure about it at all, I know we have, about we're not going to bother colouring it because so many other things have done it,
exactly,
so you don't need to hear it again.
Yeah. Precisely. So I think it's awesome. What we will do is when it comes out in the UK, we'll do some coverage of it then.
Definitely.
Because then it'll be interesting to see who gets to sell it, because in America it's exclusive to Singular. So it'll be interesting to then cover, you know, the contract here, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I doubt I'll be getting one, but if you'd like to donate however much it's going to cost, then then sure, we'll get one and review
one. Of course.
I mean, if you buy two for us, then, you know, I'm sure Seth would like one as well, you know. I mean,
I'd like to buy one, yeah.
But it's very cool. Check out apple.com, any Mac sites, Mac Insider, Mac Rumors, blah, blah, blah.
Check out the internet.
Yeah, check out Dig. I mean, that's it, essentially.
Done stuff.
Now, last episode, I said I would do a review of my new webcam. So here it is. Here's my review. And it's a Logitech QuickCam Fusion. It's one of the higher-end webcams from Logitech. I think there's only two others that are more expensive from Logitech.
Yeah.
And all of the top three use the same technology. They haven't really got a lot different in them. Its recommended retail price is £80, which is about $150 or something like that. So it's quite a lot for a webcam. You know, it's not cheap. I didn't get it at £80, I must add. I got it at about £55 or something like that.
Rootage?
Yeah, it's got a 1.3 megapixel lens on it, which means, yes, you can take 1.3 megapixel pictures with this webcam. They don't come out great. It compresses them before they even get anywhere, which is a shame. They don't come out as raw or anything.
Typical.
And the video is at 640 by 480, which is standard for webcams, really. Now, the best thing, apart from the insanely good quality of the camera, I mean, you've seen it on MSN and everything, yeah. and you compare to anyone else's cameras,
it's brilliant.
And it's so sharp and
it's
so clear.
It's really good.
There's no blockiness or anything
no,
on
not
it.
At all.
And, you know, it's just very, very
it's
nice.
A very nice,
crisp,
clear, crisp
very
camera.
Crisp picture, isn't it? But the best thing about it, I would say, is the Right Light technology, which is their trademark little name. And basically, it's just. It's several options to try and increase the picture quality in low light conditions. Now, short of actually having like infrared, this is pretty much as good as it will get as far as improving quality. It's got, you can adjust the exposure time, and then it's got sort of, I don't even know how it does it. It's magic for all I know. But basically, compared to my last webcam, I can be in pretty much darkness in my room and this thing will somehow light it up properly for me. If you were actually recording a video, it wouldn't look so good because it has to slow down the frames per second in order to take like double time exposure. But for MSN or something like that, when the frame rate isn't that great anyway, it's really, really good and it's very nice. I must say, actually, it does take a while to boot up the webcam when you go on MSN.
Really?
So you click like the button on MSN to share your webcam and it stays in blackness for a while and then you'll get sort of a dark picture and then a couple of seconds later, it'll go a bit brighter. And then a bit later, it'll go, you know, it like sort of takes a while to actually overlay all of these filters on top before you get the proper bright picture, which is quite interesting. But yeah, pretty much any lighting condition can be fixed either manually where, you know, you tweak the settings yourself or automatically. Automatically, it does fluctuate sometimes. You'll see the colors changing as it changes the saturation and everything. But that's the same as all webcams, really. Also, it's got a sort of a grip thing on the back, which is made out of rubber, and you can sort of move it and bend it, and it can go on the back of, it can go on the top of any sort of CRT or TFT, go on a shelf, you know, I mean, it's really, really good. It'll fit fine on laptops and that sort of thing.
Well, you proved that, didn't you, by putting it on all sorts of different services, and it's really good at how it sticks to everything really
which
well.
Which is really good. I would say the bad things about it, are mainly this video overlays and avatars gimmick, which was previewed last year at a tech demonstration that Logitech did.
Yeah.
And at the time it worked, but they were probably had a spotlight on the person's face, like uniform lighting perfect on their face. Because in my room, especially if you're having to use the Right Light technology and stuff, it doesn't get it. It just doesn't get it at all. You know, you've got to have proper lighting. It's got to be daylight, no backlit or anything, you know, and you've got to properly do that. So they hardly ever work. And the microphone is good, but it's not great. You know, I do actually use it on TeamSpeak and that sort of thing now, depending on what I'm doing, because I often speak without my headset on.
Yeah.
But if someone says, oh, you're a bit muffled or whatever, I'll just change it to my microphone on my headset because it's much better, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
But it is good. But also when you install the Logitech software, first of all, the Logitech software asks you to, like, do you want to check for updates? And I was like, yeah, sure, fine. 70 meg update came through. I was like, thanks for that. Nice update. but yeah, it's good, but it's not great. And it does try and, like, hey, do you want Logitech to manage your sound settings for your voice over IP applications? It tries to, like, steal Skype and, like, fix all the settings and stuff. I was just like,
no way.
It's fine, thank you. But it does apparently have echo cancelling, but I wouldn't know, having not listened to myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other bad thing is that I get blue screens of death with this thing. I forgot to mention it on the show notes, but if I go into the software that this comes with, and I try and change the audio settings in this software, it will be SOD, which is signs of a badly coded driver.
Yeah.
On my laptop, it be SODs on that, and also on my laptop, I had it on Skype. I had it on Skype with you, wasn't it? We were on playing Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yes.
I plugged my webcam in because my laptop's got a crappy microphone. Put it on Skype, and then my laptop blue screened.
Yes, that's
because
right.
Because it was using the audio feature of, you know, the microphone. It doesn't do that on my main computer, but clearly there's something about the audio with
something,
this webcam.
Yeah, something doesn't like
that
something.
Isn't quite right. So despite that 70 meg update, it's still not fixed properly. So overall, it's a very nice webcam. It's possibly, you know, one of the best webcams you can buy. It's also one of the most expensive webcams you can buy.
Yeah, it's pretty pricey.
So if you don't use your webcam much, then I would suggest not going for this at all. I would suggest going for the MSI StarCam. 630, no, it's not 630i, that's the name of the NVIDIA chipset. MSI StarCam something, and it's £15, and it's one of the best webcams ever reviewed and stuff. It's got a little foot and then a wire and comes up with the webcam, like, standing up. That's got infrared LEDs on it. You can use it in pitch black, wow. and it actually has an infrared picture, you know, like you get on TV, on, like, nature films and stuff. It can do that, because you can use it as a security webcam and stuff. Very cool.
Oh, brilliant.
Not good, not bad for 15 quid.
Yeah, 15 quid, that's pretty damn good.
So if you want... if you want a webcam, don't go to like PC World and buy the shittiest Logitech quick cam you can buy. buy the MSI StarCam, or if you want to buy a proper big webcam, buy this Logitech quick cam fusion, and I don't think you'll regret it. It's a nice webcam.
I mean, you've showed it to me, mm-hmm. and I've obviously seen you using it several times on MSN to me, and it's really good quality, it seems like a really decent webcam, and you've shown me some of the features of it in there, really nice. So,
but as I say, it is overkill unless you're going to use your webcam a lot. If you're not going to use your webcam much, don't waste money on something like this. I haven't really got an overall figure, I suppose, like, you know, I use it and it's fine. I don't have any problems with it. It works. So. It's never sort of, apart from the B-sods on the audio, it's never like crashed or anything on me or died or anything. So, you know, 8 out of 10, I would say.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that about wraps up the show. We got some plugs and shouts.
We have indeed.
As usual. First of all, a plug to hack5.org, because there's no point in Hack5.
Yeah.
Thanks to Darren for letting us know that he thinks we own, which is awesome. Darren, you own. Hack5 owns. Go and check out Hack5. If you don't know what Hack5 is, then you are... You should be shot or something.
I don't know. Maybe. Just go and check out Hack5.org.
It's awesome.
So, Hack5 owns.
It does.
There you go. Favour returned. Mm-hmm. Other little plug we've got is... it's for a Half-Life 2 mod, which is based on the Half-Life 2 universe as well.
Yeah,
It's like an extension.
Gordon Freeman and stuff.
You play as Gordon Freeman.
Yep.
And it's a properly done mod as well. It's got proper voicing, voice acting, etc. It's called Rock 24. Mm-hmm. And it was mentioned on the latest Steam update.
Yeah.
It's very,
which
very,
I missed.
It's very, very good. When I was downloading it, everybody else for the Steam was trying to download it. I was getting like 14k a second. So it took a while, because it is, I think it's about 250 meg or something. Right. It's not too bad in size. But if you want to check that out, check out the Steam powered website for it, and that's tinyworld.com/y944v3.
yep.
Go and give that a download. Go and give that a try.
Obviously need Half-Life 2 to actually.
You need
play
Half-Life
it.
2 CS
Unlike Garry's Mod, which you don't need it for.
Do you not?
You don't need Half-Life 2, because when I went to Mixes, I was like, "Oh, I've got to show you Garry's Mod." So I logged on my Steam and downloaded Garry's Mod. Yeah,
all right.
It didn't even take very long, because it had, because he's got CSS.
Yeah,
that's enough.
Good, because it has the source engine itself, I guess. Yeah, but yeah, same. If for this, you're going to need Half-Life 2. You're going to need the source. Developers kit.
Oh yeah, same with
the SDK and just some of the other bits and bobs as well. But it will most likely work on most things.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So yeah, go and give that a try, because it's a really good mod.
Is it well done as far as a mod?
Very well done. Well, it must be, considering Valve plugged
it. Yeah, fair enough.
Thing. I mean, it's got proper voice acting. Mm-hmm. It's got properly done textures and everything for custom jobs. And the two guys who did this have done an amazing job.
Sweet. I will have to check that out. Also, I want to give a quick plug to bittech.net, that's bit-tech.net, for their forum is really, really informative. Also, I love their website for like hardware reviews and stuff. It's such a clean, nice, shiny website. You know, there's no adverts anywhere. There's no, you know, sometimes you go on like Extreme Tech and stuff, and everywhere there's adverts for shops, like buy this, buy that, buy, you know, and buy what you're looking at the review for. BitTech don't do that. You know, and they're UK-based, so if they ever do give a link to, like, price and stuff,
it's
to scan or something like that, and you can click it and buy it, and you know that BitTech use them.
Yeah.
I love BitTech. BitTech is a really nice website, really nice forum, and they've given me, you know, lots of ideas as far as, like, the mod that I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Plenty of websites and links to places to buy stuff and that sort of thing. So go and check them out if you're into modding or anything to do with hardware or anything. They're almost like...
Computers, really.
Their forum is very similar to Neowin.net.
Yeah.
I use Neowin.net a lot for Windows customization. It's where I learn everything and anything that I know about Windows customization.
Yeah.
BitTech's very similar, but for hardware. So go and check them out. Also, thanks to the IT technician at my school for letting me buy those two cases that I've got.
Yeah.
One of them I'm modding. Also, finally, plugs to music.podshow.com for, I haven't got a joke this time.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm so sorry. Music.podtrick.com for something. For providing us with the music that we used.
Wow.
That's not a joke. So
very original joke.
Yeah, it wasn't even a joke.
No, it wasn't even original.
Or anything.
And also plugs to blacklabworld.com, which was the artist for the music that we had today on the show.
Hmm.
So go and check them out if you want to check out their other songs or whatever. And yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
It owns.
But music.podtrick.com doesn't own.
It does. It's cool.
Yes.
You can't say doesn't own after plugging it, you fool.
I mean, we have to plug it because they tell us to. They're like, plug our websites.
Yeah, but it's quite good.
Yeah. But yeah, so go and check that out. Maybe they deleted my user. Maybe that's why I can't get on. Like, bastards.
Live and Hexians, you suck at us.
We do.
But yes, that's pretty much wraps up the show.
The not so special episode 30.
Yes.
Special episodes are the ones to come.
Yes.
Episode 31. Finally, yeah, details about episode 31 will be on the website. We want to hear your Winter Emus stories. Come on the TeamSpeak. Come on IRC. Please, people, come on IRC. You know, IRC, there's always someone on IRC. Just not usually me. You know, come and check us out. Email us. We really like to hear from people, and we hope that we get some people that we've never met before, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe you start getting in a bit more.
You'll be on the show. You'll be heard, you know, and awesome, and we'll
chat
plug,
with us for a while.
We'll plug you all on the website, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, come on the show.
Yeah, and that's, then that wraps up the show.
It does. I'm Gelato.
I'm Saffron.
And you've been listening to Life in Hex, episode 30.
Yes, you have.
It's so awesome that we've been going for 30 episodes.
30 episodes indeed. That's 60 weeks.
Should we go and sleep?
I'm very sleepy. You probably noticed me nodding off.
It's like, yes, the levels are slowly decreasing.
You probably see my eyes dipping a lot.
It's too warm in here.
Yeah, I'm sleepy. That's it. Goodbye, all. Have a good weekend.
Blah, blah, blah. What weekend?
We'll be having a weekend. They'll be having a week.
Have a good life.
Have a good life in Hex.
Yeah. That's so funny. Hello, I'm Gelato.
I'm Saffron.
And welcome to Life in Hex. I did that like the other way around this time, didn't I? That's quite cool.
How
normally
so?
I say hi, hello and welcome to Life in Hex. Let's do it the other way around.
Right, life. Moving on to our life section.
That invisible section.
Oh, I was trying to do such a smooth link there.
It would be so awesome, except the fact that we haven't got a life section.
We forgot the life section. You had to ruin that. That would have been brilliant.
But no one would have known, so then that just ruins it.
Yeah, definitely we would have known, and we were like, yeah, we are. We're professionals.
Yeah,
we don't need show notes. We can just do it on the spot.
Wing the whole
lot. But no, you obviously can't.
Of course not.
So you can forget about career and radio in the future.
Definitely.
Now, the main character, he is... What's his bloody name?
Seth doesn't know the name.
It's basically... So the main character, Kazuki Muto, is...
Well done for remembering that name.
Fuck off. I'm going to start again. You can put that in the outtakes by all bloody means, but not for the main show, you...
Seven forgot the name. We had to look it up on Wikipedia.
I've only read the first volume, okay? And I read it in like one day.
Good.
So screw you.
Okay.
It's the main character, Kazuki Muto. He's very different. Stop it!
Didn't do anything.
This better not turn into another Ichigo review.
I was just thinking how music would be if your trousers caught fire on the radio.
Fuck off.
It's like...
The main character...
I did nothing.
You didn't...
I didn't do anything. I did nothing. I just looked at that light and went, ooh, pretty light. Go on.
Fuck's sake. Stop pushing me up. Putting me off.
We better make sure this is a short show. There's a lot of outtakes.
Oh, God. Hang on.
I've got to find a way of looping our ending music. Because I've ran out of music before and like, I've got too many outtakes.
Like, oh, dear. Oh, dear. No. Yeah. Well, we need to keep the outtakes for our outtakes
show. I do keep them.
The manga explains it a lot better than I do. So it's easier to understand.
That's not hard.
Fuck off.
I'm joking.
You're an arsehole.
I know.
I'm not like this in your tech sections.
I know you're not.
I'm
keeping pretty quiet for an anime section. I'm doing pretty well.
I'm very good in your tech sections.
I'll keep quiet now.